Good morning and praise God on this beautiful Sunday morning He has given us. As you've heard, the district office has asked all the churches in McMinn County to postpone service this week. So we're recording a message here and we'll be praying for all around us that God will take this pestilence away. We look forward to being back up there at the church house soon, that we can gather again together as God's people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, Lord, another day here in this world to follow you, Lord, and to do your will. Lord, may we live by your word and follow you with all our heart and mind, soul and strength, Lord, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and most of all, loving you. Above all, Father, keep us all in thy will, Lord, by the living word of God that you've given us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, the Comforter. Your promise that you're with us wherever we go, Lord, we have your Spirit to guide us. Help us, Lord, be back in the church soon, and we may be gathering together, Lord, as your people. Bless all those around. Bless those that will hear this, and keep everybody up at Mars Hill safe, and may we all be closer to you every day by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Keep everyone safe from this virus that's going around us, Lord, and heal those. And Lord, there's more sicknesses than that, and we ask you to send forth your healing touch, Lord, upon all the sick, Lord. Help all that's lost that don't know you as Savior, Lord, to come before your throne of grace, that they may know your truth, Lord, and your love, and the power of your salvation. Help us as your children to be vessels of your grace, Lord, that we may reach out, extend your truth and your love to those around us, everywhere we go, Lord, following you. And we end this prayer with a prayer that thy Son Jesus taught us, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We miss being up there with everybody this morning. Well, if you got your Bibles with you, if you'll turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. I'll give you a second to find it there. Romans 12. Verse 1. Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. The Lord tells us there, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, He says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted each measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word that is sharper than a two-edged sword Help it to pierce us in the heart every day, Lord, as we draw closer, closer to you, as we are drawing nigh into your blessed coming. And Lord, as we examine your word this morning, give me the words just to say, Lord, and give us all hearts open to you and your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless all that hear, Lord. Help us not only be hearers of your word, but doers. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We come here to Romans chapter 12. And he says here in verse 1, he says, I urge you, therefore, brethren. First off, God, through the Apostle Paul in this epistle to the Romans, he's urging us. He says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, he's urging us by the mercies of God. The only way we can live the Christian walk, the only way we can walk with God, do his will, follow the word of God, is by the mercies of God. He's so merciful to us. He gives us mercy. He gives us grace for every need, grace upon grace. He urges us, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by God's mercy, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice. He wants us to present our bodies, present ourselves, these mortal bodies, while we're down here in this life below, to present ourselves a living and holy sacrifice, giving ourselves to God. When they had sacrificed something back in the Bible days in the Old Testament, they were giving it to God, holy and truly. Jesus Christ was the one true sacrifice, once and for all sin, forevermore. He died on the cross of Calvary willingly, and God sent him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But right now, in these mortal bodies as we wait our resurrected bodies at the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right now, in our bodies as we walk and talk in this world, as we live, waking or sleeping, no matter what we do, God bids us, God is telling us, he's urging us, therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice. He wants us to be living. We're dead to sin and alive through the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He dwells in us, in our hearts. He's going to show us the way and guide us. But we need to present our bodies to him as a sacrifice. We need to present ourselves to him, holy and true, and not holding anything back. Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot serve me. When them people was taking their cross up to the hill, they knew life was no more. The old ways of doing things it was done for. They were carrying a cross up the hill to die. Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. Take up our cross. Take up his ways. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God by the Holy Spirit. Take up our cross and follow him. Leave him behind the old ways. No matter what was back there in the old ways in the slaves of Egypt land, no matter what was back there in your past, we're redeemed. Like we talked about last week, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's left behind, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. So we now, as risen, as resurrected people, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, he's urging us to present our bodies, present ourselves, our whole life. Is there somewhere in your life that you're not presenting to the Lord Jesus Christ? That you're not giving up to him? Is there some corner in your life that you're holding back from him? Holding back from the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, holding back from his holiness. God urges us, present your bodies a living, and next he says, and a holy sacrifice. Not only do we need to be a living, risen by the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to be a holy sacrifice. How are we holy? We're holy only by the blood of Jesus. Holy is set apart. Holy is what God is. Before the throne room of God, the angels and all the heavenly chorus are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth is full of his glory. Present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice, set apart for God. We are bought with a price, the Bible tells us. That price was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross of Calvary to redeem us for anyone who calls upon him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll call men unto me. He was lifted up on the cross of Calvary, and he's drawn all unto him. His hope and open, wonderful gift of salvation. It's given to all freely who will simply accept it by faith. But you have to present yourself. You got to open your heart to the Lord. You have to give yourself. It's a personal thing. Nobody can do it around you. Nobody can do it for you. Only you and God and work this out by the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God, we're here together. That's not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, as Hebrews tells us. It's a personal salvation. and a social sanctification. We come together as God's church, with other Christians, with those who know Jesus as Savior, to edify and help one another. But first and foremost, you have to have your personal salvation right with God. Nobody can do it for you. Jesus did everything he could by dying on the cross of Calvary, by raising up on the third day, and sending the Holy Spirit to guide us. All you have to do is reach out to him in faith. And then as a saved person, then as we, as the children of God, by his mercy, we're to present our bodies right here in this life. This life matters. We have this wonderful, wonderful gift of the New Jerusalem, where we'll be with God for all eternity. I long to be in our heavenly home, as we're just traveling through this world. But as we travel through this world, it's important that we walk with God, that we follow his ways and his wills, and to do what the Word of God tells us to do by the Holy Spirit. This world is lost and dying. So many around us are running as fast as they can to the gates of hell. We as the children of God need to be reaching out to them, showing them God's love, showing them God's truth, not cloaking it around, hiding it, but showing it to people by not only our lips and our words, but from the heart and our minds and our actions. Let's be presenting ourselves, living in a holy sacrifice. That way we're given to God 100%. Don't hold back any corner of your life. Give yourself to God 100%. If you'll do the Lord's will, follow him, just let the consequences be up to him. He will take care of you, he promises. He'll work all things for the good of those that love God, who are called according to his purpose, and we are called according to his purpose as his children. He says they're this holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. How are we acceptable to God? It's by the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed blood that he shed. And having that blood shed, we can look to him in faith and be acceptable to God. We want to do what's acceptable to God. How do we know what's acceptable to God? It's by the Word of God that we have here, the Holy Bible, which is your spiritual service of worship. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Everything around us, it's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spirits and principalities of this world. It's not just physical, it's spiritual in this world. That's the battle that we're facing everywhere we go. That's the battle within our hearts, around us. It's a spiritual battle. And to fight spiritually, that's the only way to fight a spiritual battle, is by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible tells us. If you look at the armor of God, the only weapon we have is the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Bible. Hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against thee. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Hide its words in our hearts. Let them get all around us. We can be a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. What a wonderful way we worship. By sacrificing our ways, getting out of the way, and opening ourselves up to God's ways. He must increase, but I must decrease, John tells us. He says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Everywhere we go, no matter what you're doing, every moment of your day, you're conforming your life to something else. It can be the devil's ways. It can be the ways of the world. It can be the sins of the flesh, the lustfulness all around us in this world. You're conforming to something. That's not what God wants us to do. Do not be conformed to this world. How are you conforming your life? By what you fix your mind on, by what you fix your life on, by the actions that you show forth. By what you do, what you allow in your home, you are conforming your home, your life, everything around you. You're conforming either to this world or to God. He says here, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. God wants us transformed. This world's temporary. The ways of the world will be cast into hell, as the Bible tells us, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The devil himself, he knows the angels that have fallen. They know all the demons. When Jesus was casting out demons, they said, what have you to do with us, O thou Son of the Most High God? They said, it's not yet the time. They know the appointed time when they'll be cast into hell for all eternity. They know the time. We don't have to go to hell. Their fate is sealed, but ours isn't. No one's is down here in this world. If you've got a breath you're breathing, you've got a chance to get right with God. You've got a chance to follow the Lord. We have a chance to turn to him because of what Jesus did on Calvary. in His mercy, He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to Him. Verse 2, He tells us, and do not be conformed to this world. As children of God, we need to be conformed. The Bible tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What we fix our minds on has an awful lot with what we're going to do. If your heart's not right with God, and your mind's not right with God, your actions will never be right with God. Neither will your speech, nor your life. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are a very powerful thing. The Bible talks about casting down the imaginations of wickedness around us. If you fix your mind on sin, if you fix your mind on wicked deeds, you can guarantee it, you're leading down the path of sin, and you will be doing forth the sinful deeds by entertaining the wicked thoughts. When the devil puts in wicked thoughts, get the word of God out. Get out in the name of Jesus. I rebuke thee. That's what we must do. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Retrain our mind by the word of God. What are we going to fix our minds on? The Bible says fix your mind on Jesus. The Bible says, whatever is holy, righteous, and true, and lovely, fix our minds on these things. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's your mind focused on right now, today? What's it been focused on this week? Has it been the Lord Jesus or something else? Transformed by renewing your mind. Lord, help us renew our minds. We got to renew our minds by the Word of God. Why is this? He says that you may prove what the will of God is. If our mind is in the gutter, in the wickedness of the world, there's no way you'll be able to know what the will of God is, because you're out of it. You're ignoring it. We get in the Word of God to know the will of God. A lot of times people will be searching for the will of God in the stars, or in signs and wonders all around us, these different things in nature. Nature's a beautiful thing. It's a lovely thing, and God created it. But if you want to know the will of God for your life, get in the Word of God. This divine revelation He's given us, penned over thousands of years, all given in one volume to us. What a time we have to be alive here in this New Testament church age, where we can read the complete Word of God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 and see all of God's plan of salvation as we look unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto Him, awaiting His second coming. Praise God. Why would we pass that up? Praise God. People that translated this wonderful book into English when it was illegal, they were burned at the stake. There are so many sacrificed for what we can do, liberty to read God's Word. It didn't come from those people. It came from God. He gives us this book to read. Don't let us ever just toss it about. Use it as a pretty decoration, but let us renew our minds with it, that you may be able to prove what the will of God is. There's books all around us. What's the will of God for your life? How to discern God's will? They didn't have these back in the New Testament. They had one book. It's the Word of God. Other books are helpful. I encourage you to read and study along with the Bible. But first and foremost, be in the Bible, God's Word, and He will show you what His will is, that you may prove what the will of God is. Visit many books, but live in the Bible. Study the Bible first. We're people of the Bible. We're the people of the book. Lord, help us. John Wesley said, "Yea, I'm a Bible bigot. I follow it in all things, great and small." Let us be that. Follow the Word of God in all things, great and small, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that you may prove what the will of God is. We want to know God's will, because God's will is always best. He says, "My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." He sees the bigger picture when we can't see it. We can't see it. I don't know tomorrow, but He knows tomorrow. If we knew tomorrow, we would have messed up tomorrow before we even got there. But praise God, the Lord God Almighty, Creator of all things. He holds it. He shows the way. Prove the will of God. Some of these sewing projects people do, if you look at the bottom of it, it looks mighty strange, the strokes of beautiful shades of bright colors and dark colors and all that. But when you look at the top, once it's completed, it's a beautiful tapestry, a beautiful work of art. That's how our lives are. When we're looking down here below, we can't see it. We see the dark strings coming through our lives. We see the bright ones, the good days, the bad days that God allows us to go through. But when we get on the other side, when we see the beauty that it shows forth, by the Word of God, by the will of God, He's made us better and closer are more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want, God's will. He says they're that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God is always good. Everything He does, He's good to us. He loves us. He's our Heavenly Father. Whether it's His chastisement out of disobedience or His guiding hand, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Both of those things are good because God wants us close to Him by faith in Him. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. We want to be acceptable to God every day. We want our deeds to be acceptable, our speech to be acceptable. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness upon us that we can follow Him by the Holy Spirit that resides in our hearts. When you're saved, that Holy Spirit, the same one that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us and rose us again spiritually. We can follow the Lord, prove what the will of God is by reforming, renewing our mind, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Praise God we can do this only by the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3 He tells us, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, every man and woman both, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each measure of faith. He says, through the grace given to me, God gave him this grace to tell us, we have the grace to hear it, that I say to every man or woman among you, not to think more highly of himself than we ought to think. We need to be thinking humbly about ourselves, knowing that without God and His Holy Spirit, we could do nothing good. Our good works on our own, the Bible tells us, are nothing but filthy rags. They can do nothing, but through Him we can do all things. We can do all these things through Christ, who gives us strength. He says, through the grace given to me, I say to every man and woman, you ought to think more highly of himself than you ought to think. Don't think ourselves that we redeemed ourselves, that we're good on our own, because we're not. We're only good by our faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. What a wonderful thing that we, when we could do nothing good, God loved us anyways. We could do nothing to earn favor with Him. We could do nothing to follow Him on our own. But God, who's rich in mercy, sent Jesus who died on the cross. And now, anyone can turn to God. He will draw them. Anyone can look to heaven and say, Lord, save me, and they'll be saved. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He says, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Some translations say sober judgment. We need to have sound judgment. What's the truth of the matter? Sound judgment. How is it sound? Like a building has to be structurally sound or it will fall apart. We need to have our sound judgment. That way it's not polluted with the ways of sin, polluted with things contrary to God. We need sound judgment. If it's sound, it's according to the Word of God. God's Holy Spirit will never tell you something that's contrary to His Word. It'll never happen. Because the Lord thy God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. I, the Lord, I change is not, the Bible tells us. What God spoke in Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22 will always, always be the same as what He speaks by the Holy Spirit today, every day, the Word of God. If you think you're being told by the Lord to do something and it's contrary to the Word of God, it's sin, it's not the Lord telling you. We need to remember this. By the book, the Word of the living God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive and active, living. Let's get in it and follow it. Lord, help us. He says there, to have sound judgment. Other translation has said it says to have sober judgment. We don't need to cloud our minds with things like alcohol and other drugs around us. We don't need to cloud our minds with things contrary to the Word of God. We don't need to cloud our minds with distractions of this sinful world, with wicked music that we could listen to, with wicked movies and vile things. We could cloud our judgment. We could cloud what we see is right by getting so used to seeing wickedness in this world, so used to allowing it in our hearts and our lives, that your judgment is no longer sober. It's no longer sound. But instead, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, the Bible tells us. Lay it aside, that we may have sound judgment by the Word of God. Have sound judgment, sober judgment, as God has allotted each a measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith. He's given me a measure of faith. He's given everybody that's ever saved a measure of faith. He knows exactly what you need, because He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the in-depths of our heart when we don't even know. The Bible says when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit makes groanings for us and petitions God our Father for us as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray to God, read the Word, listen to the Word, and live out the Word by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. As God has allotted each a measure of faith, He's given you a measure of faith. Lord, increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're hearing the Word of God, it will increase our faith. If we're following Him through trials, tribulations, the good days, the bad days, living by the Word of God, it'll increase our faith. Walk with God, it'll increase our faith. The closer we talk with somebody through prayer, true prayer, not just giving God a checklist and laying down, but truly communing with God, our Heavenly Father, through the Word and through prayer, it'll increase your faith. Because the more we get to know God, the closer we are to Him, and the better we can trust Him. He says there in verse 4, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function." Now he's going here to look at ourselves. We have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. The Church of the Living God is the body of Christ. So we who are many are one body in Christ. Every individual, we're different. Many ways, because we're different people, but where there's one Holy Spirit, one God. The only way we can be one accord with one another is first if I'm at one accord with God our Father. If you're at one accord with God our Father, then we as a church, as God's people, can be in one accord with each other by the Holy Spirit, only by looking to Him and not ourselves. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We're the body of Christ. We have different functions, different things. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function. My feet don't have the same function as my hands. If I tried to walk with my hands and write with my feet, it wouldn't go over too well. We each are different pieces of the body of Christ. We have each our individual functions. Each we got our calling of God. Verse 6, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us," we each have different gifts. What God calls you to do, and me, and other people, it's different things, because God has all these different callings. First and foremost, calling for all of God's children is to be sanctified by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's His first calling that He gives to all His children. And the second calling, He gets into other things that differ according to the grace given us. What has God called you to do? It's in accordance with the Word of God always. What's He calling you to do? He says, "Let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith." If God called someone to prophesy, they're to do it according to the proportion of his faith. God gives these different things for service. Some people will say, "Well, there's no prophecies, there's no this and that. Those are just back in the apostles' age." That's not true. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. The promises of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts are the same promises for me and you today. The difference is, how much of God do we want? How much of God do we want in our lives? So often God's people can settle for just little crumbs when we could have the whole basket of bread that God wants us to have, living with Him. These people of God we read in the book of Acts and these other places, they had so much power from God. Why is that? Because they gave God the time of their lives. They gave Him everything. They took up their cross and followed Him. We too could have this power of the Holy Spirit the Bible promises. But we've got to give up something. We've got to give up ourselves and commit ourselves to the Lord. Commit our walk to the Lord. He gives us His grace, every measure of grace. And the closer we are to Him, the more measures of grace we will receive. The more and more power of the Holy Spirit to walk with Him and to follow Him more fully every day. Draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. How much of God are you allowing in your life? Are you opening up for more and more every day? Or are you pushing Him further and further away? Don't push and push God away until you're falling away. No, draw Him closer and closer in every day. Let each one of us, every one of us, every child of God, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. We've all got different callings, and God will supply your needs. If God calls you to do something, He will qualify you, because none of us are qualified without Him. Doesn't matter what the devil starts bringing up, you did this, you did that. No, if you're saved by the grace of God and God calls you to do something, you do it, because He's qualifying you. by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, or redeeming blood of Jesus, if service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, that's generosity, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. He always give this. If you're not showing mercy in your life, Lord, I need more mercy, he'll give you cheerfulness. If you're saying, Lord, I need to give more, he'll give you generosity. God's calling you to lead, he'll give you more diligence. Exhort, exhortation, he'll give you what you need if you'll submit to him in faith. If God's calling you to do something, it's in line with the Word of God. You're listening to him. He will give you what you need. He'll supply your needs individually. What is God calling you to do with your life? Some people he calls to preach. Some people he calls to teach. Some people he calls to sing. He gives us each something to do. Some to minister to children. There's a host of things that he gives us to do. Great or small, do it for the glory of God. To whom much is given, much is required. If we're faithful in few, we will be faithful in much. Start with the little things. Do everything you can for the glory of God. You can sweep the rug off. Vacuum. You can clean the church house. You can clean your own house. You can do all these things for God. If you'll set them up and say, Lord, I'm doing this for you, and do your best. Do it for him. Do all things to the glory of the one who made us, the Bible tells us. If you can't do it in the name of Jesus, we should not be doing it. There's a lot of things you can't do in the name of Jesus. A lot of sinful things you can't do for the Lord. We need to do things for God according to the Word of God. If we can't do it for him, we need to leave it out of our lives. Lord, help us. He says in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Now he's getting back into what we all must be doing. Every one of us. These are things for every child of God. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Let our love be genuine, some translations say. We want it to be the real deal. We don't want it to just be part of the way. We don't want it to be smiling and saying how nice words to somebody in front of them and running them just plumb in the mud when they're away. That's not love. That's not genuine love. That's not true love. That is hypocritical love. God doesn't want that. He wants us to say, like he says, let love be without hypocrisy. He wants it to be genuine, truly loving. The Bible tells us, if you will not forgive those around you, God will not forgive you. He tells us, how can you love a God who you have not seen if you hate someone that you can see? We're to love everybody, love our neighbors as ourselves, love God first and those around us. Joy comes from Jesus, others, and yourself, truly, by the Word of God, showing kindness and love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Lord, help us. Abhor to what is evil. Cling to what is good. We're to despise what God despises and love what God loves. What does God love? First and foremost, God loves holiness, the Bible tells us. He is holy. That's his first thing. He's loving. He's truthful. We're to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Notice here, it doesn't say abhor who is evil. Because at all one time, before the Lord Jesus saved us, we were all evil, wretched sinners and deserving of damnation and hell. No, he doesn't say that. He says, abhor what is evil. Because when God looked at us, he didn't hate us. He loves us. He sees everybody in this world. Isn't it an amazing thing that God loves everybody? All people. The worst of the worst that the world would say. That's unredeemable. God loves him. He can redeem by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus. He'll redeem anybody. Apostle Paul. He was helping persecute Christians, but God loved him and God redeemed him. God loves you. No matter what, he'll redeem. Follow him. Abhor what is evil and love everybody, he says, without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Abhor sin. The first sin that we should abhor the most is the sin in our lives. It creeps up. That's the sin that we should be abhorring the most. Abhor all sin. When we see somebody stumbling, we want to reach out and help them. Not kicking them down in the mud, making it worse on them, but we want to help them up. Help them to follow God. How do we do that? By love and not meanness. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. We want to cling to it. If you're clinging to something, you're holding just as tight as you can. If you're way up on a giant tower somewhere without any tie-off ropes, you're going to cling as tight as you can to that thing. We need to be clinging as tightly as we can to what is good, what is wholesome, what is true, the Word of God. We need to cling to it for dear life. People scared of all these things around us. People scared of the virus, and it's a terrible, terrible pestilence around us. People scared of so much. People scared of warfare and famines. People scared of other people. But brother and sister, Bible says, don't fear those who can kill the body and do nothing afterwards, but fear him first who can both kill the body and cast the soul into hell, brothers and sisters. People's not scared of sin so often. The most deadly thing in our lives, it's not the virus, but it's sin. Because sin doesn't only kill you physically. It does kill you physically, but it kills you spiritually. So often we treat sin like just an old little Debbie cake, when we should be treating it like a rattlesnake. If I'm walking down the road and I see a rattlesnake, I ain't going to get nowhere near that thing. Because if I do, I'll get bit. The devil, he'll try to cloak it and say, oh, it's just a little sin. It won't hurt you. Oh, what can you just do a little bit of this sin. It won't hurt you. The Bible says it will. The wages of sin is death. If you indulge sin long enough, turn away from God, then you'll fall away. That's not what God wants. When you start to get sin in your life, run straight to God. Don't run from him. Run to God. He's our Heavenly Father. He'll redeem you. He'll forgive you. You start falling into sin as a child of God, go straight to God's throne of grace. The Bible tells us that the temple veil was torn from top to bottom. We have the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace. Not on our own merit, but on his merit, what he did. He can say you can go straight to the throne room of God and find grace in every time of need, grace upon grace. If sin starts coming in your life, go straight to God. He says here, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. He's telling us to show his love all around us. Show his kindness all around us. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. No matter what's going on, rejoice in God's hope. Be fervent. Be fast in the Holy Spirit. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Brothers and sisters, we could spend hours going through this wonderful list of what God is telling us to do. I encourage you, read through this chapter again privately. Savor over every verse and what God's trying to tell us. We need to dine on the bread of life spiritually every day. The Word of God, it's the bread of life spiritually. We need to feed our spirits of God's Word and prayer. Otherwise, we'll be famished and starved. If I only ate once a week, I'd be very sickly and my physical body would probably end up passing away. Brothers and sisters, I'd be so weak if I only ate a little bit on Sunday morning and didn't bother eating anymore the rest of the day, the rest of the week. Brothers and sisters, spiritually, so many around us are starving because they don't get in the Word of God every day. Read the Bible every day. At least a portion of it. Every day. Lord, help us to. It'll change your life. It changed mine. It'll change all. Because it is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. The only way we can have love without hypocrisy and abhor what is evil and cling to what is good is if we know what's evil and what's good. By the Word of God. You can't just rely on our conscience. People say just follow your heart. Brother and sister, you can't rely on just that. Our hearts are deceitful and wicked above all things. The heart can be deceived by the devil if you don't have the Word of God to show the way. We got the Holy Spirit in our heart to hide us there. Hidden in our heart, the Word of God, and to show us the way. Brothers and sisters, we got the Holy Spirit to guide us. But we have to get in the Word of God. Spiritually exercise. The Bible tells us that physical exercise, it profits some. But spiritual exercise has great gain. Getting our stamina in the Spirit. The only way we can do that is getting the Word of God and follow Him. We can be devoted. We cannot lag behind. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Go through these. We won't go through them one by one right now. We'll keep going. But go back and read those. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. That's arrogant. But associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. He gives us these things that we need to be doing by the Word of God. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. We need to be careful how we conduct our lives in this world. We need to be showing forth. Is there a difference in your life in someone that's never known Jesus? Is there a difference? Can you look? See, this person knows the Lord. respect what is right in the sight of all men. Never pay back evil for evil. Forgiving and forbearing, the Bible tells us. If possible, so far as it depends on you, and a lot of times it does, be at peace with all men. Show God's love to everybody. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God will take care of it. Follow him and show his love, and let the consequences be up to him. He's the governor, the Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords of all things. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He gives us here these things. Jesus said, fear not, for I've overcome the world. Revelation talked about the saints. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Brothers and sisters, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He urges us, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service and worship. Brothers and sisters, look back in your life right now. Are you living a sacrificial life? He showed us here in those verses we just read through, verses 9 through 21. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like right there, to be dying to oneself. Love without hypocrisy, abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good. He tells us very plainly what it is. Brothers and sisters, we can look down this list and see things we're in need of in our lives. Ask the Lord. Be honest with God. Lord, I need help being kind to my enemies. Lord, I need help rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, being devoted to prayer. Brothers and sisters, if you need help, the Bible says to call upon God, and he will help you. Just trust in him with faith. Read this word. Brothers and sisters, by presenting our bodies a living holy sacrifice, he's given us this grace. He's given us all a task to do in our lives. Reflect on that. What is God calling you to do? Do it with all your might by the power of the Holy Spirit. But not only that, like beginning of verse 9 told us, what we all as God's children have as responsibility. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot in this passage. May we go back and glean from it individually as we study to show ourselves approved unto God. By trusting in him as Savior, God loves you. He loves us all. Praise God, what a blessing we have. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's be living, going on to salvation in our sanctified lives by the Holy Spirit. God bless you, brothers and sisters. It's been a blessing examining the Word of God with you this morning. Let's be presenting ourselves to God every day. By the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. And as I've said before, we'll be praying. We look forward to being back in church together. By the living word of God, as the hymn tells us, we shall prevail. God bless you all. And let's serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence every day. Miss being with you this morning. And we will see you soon. God bless in Jesus' name. Amen.